gives new mercies every day.
Don't forget, God's promises are true. Time after time, He's always done what He said He would do. On the mountains, through the trials, He's been faithful every mile. He has never failed you yet. Don't ever, no, never forget.
Don't forget.
Don't forget God's promises are true. Time after time, He's always done what He said He would do. On the mountains, through the trials,
He's been faithful every mile.
He has never failed you yet.
Don't ever, no, never forget. Don't ever, no, never forget.
We're closer to the greatest event this world has ever known. He's coming. When Christ shall return again to claim His own, He's coming. My Lord is coming, and He will step from His throne on high, and in the twinkling of an eye, with a shout that will quicken all the born again, my Lord is coming.
And when He comes, He'll not be alone. He'll bring loved ones who've already gone. They're coming.
They're coming.
And the power that raised Christ that day will enter into the grave. They're coming.
My Lord is coming. Then the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are alive shall be caught up to meet Him in the air. My Lord is coming.
He told us in His word to watch and pray, then we'll not be ashamed at His coming.
Six, five.
the lights burned, till my guilty soul returned to Calvary. Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty.
Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and glad you're here. And almost done with October, and next Sunday will be our last Sunday of Missions Month, and we have a missionary couple planning to be with us. They're going to Japan, and so they will be with us Sunday night, but looking forward to that. Several announcements. Hope you'll be back in God's house tonight, 6 o'clock for a Bible message, and then tomorrow night, ladies' night out. Ladies' night in, men's night out. No, ladies' night out, men's night in? Something like that. Anyway, it's the ladies' meeting tomorrow night, 6:30 here at the church. Hope you'll be here, ladies, and good ministry there. Then back in God's house Wednesday night, Bible preaching and prayer, Kids Patch the Pirate Club. And then this weekend, we plan on having a fall harvest festival, but we don't know. There's a lot going on, so we don't know if we should do it Friday night or Saturday afternoon. So we'll have an organizational meeting tonight and to get some ideas on when most people could be here. We'll do that tonight, but that'll be either this Friday night or this Saturday afternoon evening. Also, church-wide operation saturation next Saturday. Then next Sunday, of course, the last Sunday of the month, and the Parkers will be with us. They're missionaries to Japan, and that will finish our missions month. And we're going to ask you, if you can, to fill out a commitment card. You don't ever put your name on it, just so that we can know how to budget. I'd love to take on the Scuffums and this couple. I know they'll do a good job, but we kind of need to know what we have available and what we have coming in, so we can make those decisions. Then there's a Ladies' Day Away at Berean Baptist Church on Saturday, November 4th. And there's a sign-up sheet back there. And if you're planning on going, please sign up today so she can give them a number. Then Time Change Sunday will be Sunday, November 5th. This is just set your clock back an hour, but you don't really have to, because if you don't, you'll be an hour early to church. Amen. Yeah, so we don't try to tell anybody that. And those that come for church will be here for Sunday school. But anyway, that Time Change Sunday is November 5th. Then Election Day is Tuesday, November 7th. And then Sunday, November 12th, I think the 11th is Veterans Day. And so we will honor all the veterans. Thank God for our military, for those that have served in our armed forces. And we thank God for that. And there's still some in harm's way. Brother Stowe, that's been with us, his son is over in the Middle East, and he's close to Israel in that area, and he in harm's way. And just pray for our military and those that are willing to do that. So and the rest of this. There's care packages back there by Sister Burris, and so put all kinds of goodies in there, and I'll suffer through them and see what they need. No, I'm kidding. No. Amen. All right. Well, all right. Anybody need a handout this morning? Brother Lindholm does. All right. And Brother Dilly and Sister Stedham. All right. Pray for the Moyers. Sister Moyer's doing a little better. Saw them yesterday, and saw the Myers yesterday, and saw Sister Spivey yesterday, and saw Sister Miller yesterday. Had a good time singing and seeing them, and they're all doing really, really well. And Brother Moyer really can't leave Sister Moyer alone, and so and some of his family has COVID, or their family, and so he needs to stay there with her, and so I get the privilege to teach in the adult Sunday school class, praise the Lord, and looking forward to that. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to meet with us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. God, we love you this morning, and God, we know that you love us. God, we've been told, and we've seen the examples, and we've seen what you did to prove your love to us. And God, I pray that you might bless our time together around your word. God, help us to be able to think about it, meditate upon it, and God, that we might act upon it. Thank you for those that are here. Pray for those that are not able to be here, that you might meet each need on the hearts and in the hearts and lives of your people. But bless the services today all over our building in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, turn to the book of Esther. In the book of Esther, I want to look at a story here in a very familiar passage of Scripture. The story of Esther is a wonderful, wonderful story. Is God the name God mentioned in the book of Esther? No. You say, well, really, in the Bible, there's a book that doesn't mention God? It doesn't say his name, but you see his handprint and his working all the way through the book of Esther. It's kind of like the wind. Can you see the wind? No, but you see the wind, what the wind does, and you see in the book of Esther what God does. And it's amazing that this is very relevant for us today. There's a man that hated the Jews. Is there anybody that hates the Jews today? Absolutely. I mean, the false stories that go, people jump on that, and you know, Israel did this, and it wasn't even true. And there's no apologies. People despise the Jewish nation. And here they wanted to destroy not only Mordecai, but wanted to destroy the entire Jewish nation, race. Going to wipe them off. And they had a plan, and they were doing it all. And they were getting it done. And he had it written down on this day, on the 13th day, that we'll be able to go and slaughter all the Jews in the land. But they forgot who was behind the Jews, who the Jews belonged to. God was at work. And I don't care what man does. I don't care how good man schemes and how good their plan is. And they had the king's authority. They had everything in place. They were ready to go. They were going to take care of Mordecai and all the Jews. But God was at work. And I like to call it halftime. Sometimes a game can go a certain way, and then at halftime they come out and it's a totally different story. And that's what I see, and God worked, and God moved, and most of you know the story, but Esther went to the king and said, my life's in danger, and my people's in danger, and we've been sold. And he said, well, who is this wicked person? And she said, the wicked adversary is Haman. And so, and Haman had come in to talk to the king, he said, That's before that. But God worked in, he moved with a sleepless night. He moved, worked in all kinds of situations. But we know really that Haman gets taken care of. Haman's kids get taken care of. And we pick it up in chapter 8. And it says here in verse number 1, on that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman the Jews, the enemy, unto Esther the queen. When before, God had given the nation, the Jews, to Haman. Now the table has turned. And now it says that the king gave Haman to Queen Esther. And it says, and Mordecai came before the king, and Esther had told what he was unto her. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman. Before the king had given Haman his ring and said, yeah, write whatever you want. Just do whatever you want. You have my authority. And you put that seal upon a document. That was the law of the Medes and Persians, which could not be erased, could not be scratched off. But there's other laws that could reverse it, but that's the only way. But it says the ring was taken from Haman and given. I don't care how bleak it looks. I don't care how, it's getting really dark and man, it's getting terrible. Hey, but God's still on his throne. He doesn't have dementia. He's not losing his edge. He's not, the Lord's really not in his prime. No, God doesn't have a prime because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I love it. God's working. God's at work. God's plan is being fulfilled. Say, what about the Jews and all this? Hey, the Lord's coming back, folks. We don't know when, but he's coming back. And everything just fits into prophecy, and God's preparing the way, and his plan and his will be done. And I don't care who, I don't care how big the army is, I don't care how smart the generals are, I don't care how much you scheme and plan, oh, I'm going to do this. Well, you can't fight against God. You read the Bible. So the ring was taken from Haman and given unto Mordecai, and Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. Well, that's the tables have turned. Because Haman had made a gallows and said, I'm going to hang Mordecai on those gallows. And he was so enraged with bitterness and anger and hatred for Mordecai. Every time he ate his Cheerios, he saw Haman's face. Every time he read the newspaper, he saw Haman's face. His riches and all the position that he had did nothing because of the hatred that he had. And folks, when you're filled with bitterness and anger and hatred for somebody else, it will eat you alive. Give it to God. Give it up. Say, God, you love these people, so we ought to love them too. You don't have to like and approve of what they do, but you and I ought to love people. Ought to love one another. So that's just a side note here. Anyway, and so it says, and Esther spake yet again before the king and fell down at his feet and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman the Agite and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out his golden scepter towards Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king. It wasn't just a normal day. Esther hadn't been summoned, I think, in 30 days. Her husband, yes, was the king, but she couldn't just go when he was sitting on the throne, go talk to her hubby. She had to be summoned. And if she did approach the throne and he didn't hold out his royal scepter, she could be killed. And that's why she said, I don't know if I can go before the king. I haven't been summoned. And it could be my life. And that's when they said, Esther, you've got to go. You've got to intervene for your people. And that's when she said, if I perish, I perish. Let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman. You think the devil has been scheming for a long time. over 6,000 to 7,000 years. And he's been good at this. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to devise here. But you can't fight against God, folks. And it was reversed. To reverse the letters devised by Haman, which he wrote to destroy the Jews which are in all the king's provinces. Destroy them, kill them. Eradicate, destroy, eliminate the Jewish race. Folks, there's people that if they had their way, they'd do the same thing. They hate the Jews. But yet it says, verse 6, for how can I endure to see the evil that shall come unto my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Verse 7, then the king Ahasuerus said unto Esther the queen and to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman. Haman was going to ask for Mordecai and his life and his kindred. God turned it around. And him they hanged upon the gallows because he had laid, I love this, because he had laid his hand upon the Jews. Better be careful. Better make sure in your heart, you're pro-Israel, pro-Jew. You stand with Israel. Because God said, you bless them, I'll bless you. You curse them, I'll curse you. Better make sure we're on the right side. What was it? What was Haman's biggest? Did he hate Mordecai? Yeah, but he hated the Jews because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name, and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. My mom and dad used to say, hey, yes, can I do this? No. You asked me 4 days ago. And they would remind me, this is the law of Persians. Can't be changed, altered, nothing. Okay, I understand. But once the king's authority was placed, well, let's just use a pencil. We'll just mark that out. No, it was law. It was set. 13th day, they were going to go slaughter the Jews. They had permission. They had the king's authority. Had already gone out. Verse 9. Then were the king. Written according to all that commanded unto the Jews and to the lieutenants and the deputies and rulers of the provinces, which from India unto Ethiopia, 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and the Jews according to their writing and according to their language. And he wrote in the king Ahasuerus' name and sealed it with the king's ring and sent it by post on horseback and riders on mules, camels, young dromedarians, wherein the king granted the Jews wherein were in every city to gather themselves together to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people in the province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey. Upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, namely upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against the day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the posts that rode upon mules and camels went out, and this is the phrase, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment. And the decree was given at Shushan, the palace. So another decree was written. Ready, and they can fight and defend themselves. That was the decree. But if that news stayed in the palace, what good is it? The life-saving news that was by the king's authority. What if it had stayed? What good would it do in the palace? Esther, I don't know if she would have been slaughtered or not, being the queen. But of course, everybody around, the letters had already been written by the king's authority. You can destroy, slaughter, eradicate, eliminate all the Jews on that day. But there was life-saving news. It enabled those to stand for life, to live. But that news had to get out. It had to be, it says, and sent letters by post, that's messengers, on horseback and riders on mules, camels, and young dromedarians. And it says in verse 13, it was to be given in every province, was published unto all people, that the Jews should be ready. Verse 14, so the post that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened and pressed on by the king's commandment. Folks, we got a life-saving message to give to the world. The gospel's the good news. Yes, the good news is you don't have to die and go to hell forever. You can go to heaven. Amen. That's the news that we can tell people. Hey, yes, you're a sinner, and yes, that sin will send you to hell forever, but hey, Jesus loves you. We learn Jesus tells me this, I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Amen.
I mean, we try to teach them at young age, hey, Jesus loves you. That's the message that we take to the world, folks. Jesus loves you. For God so loved the world that he what?
Gave.
Who? His only begotten Son. He gave the thing dearest to his heart. They knew from the foundation of the world. Some people say, well, it was an oops. God and the Father and the Holy Spirit had a meeting after the sin and said, what are we going to do now? Sin's coming to the world. No, they knew from the foundation of the world. They knew before the beginning of time what was going to take place. And God already had a plan. A perfect plan. God has done everything he possibly can for people to get saved. That's why I get a little upset. Well, God's such a bad God. Why would he send anybody to hell? Well, what kind of God is that? My God did everything he could possibly do. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. He went through the humiliation and pain and all the disgrace and all that for us, for our sins. He bore our sins, the Bible says, in his own body. Think about the worst sin out there in Jesus Christ. That was laid on Jesus Christ when he was on the cross. The only thing he cannot do is take you to heaven if you don't receive him as your Savior. The only sin that will send you to hell is rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unbelief. Every other sin. You say, is that the unpardonable sin? Yeah, I think so. You find one, another one that will send you to hell. I mean, adultery, I mean, murder, I mean, we think the worst, and none of those God can forgive. But if you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, no, I will not accept you, I will not believe, I will not do what the Bible says. How can he send you to heaven? It's your choice. Met a 94-year-old man yesterday, me and Ronnie, knocking doors. He's messed up. He married a preacher's wife, and then his son worked with Oral Roberts for a little while, but he believes the Bible was written by man. Yeah, you put all that in there, and doesn't believe that Jesus Christ, I said, when I got to salvation, I said, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. He liked that part, but then the rest through Jesus Christ our Lord. He said, whoa, wait a minute. Now, Jesus, not through Jesus. He was just a magician. And Ronnie was saying, well, what about him rising from the dead? Well, he did a lot of magic. No, Jesus. I said, the person that created the universe doesn't need magic. He's God. He's Almighty God. But if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, Jesus cannot bring you to heaven because life is through his Son. And forgiveness is only, your sins are only covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not in the good things you do, not in the denomination you are, only through Jesus Christ. So, but the life-saving message must go forth. What good does it do in the palace? They didn't say, all right, well, let's keep it hush hush. We got a lot of things to do around here. We got a lot of business and activities around the palace, so it's not really important to get that message out. Oh, yes, it was. A life-saving message. The news, you don't have to sit there and just be slaughtered, and in your life, you can fight for your life. And you know, people need to understand, you don't have to die and go to hell. You're condemned. Every person we see is condemned already. What do you mean, preacher? The Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already. They don't have to do a murder. They don't have to spend time in prison or jail to be a bad person. No, all of us in our heart, when we reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, we are born sinners. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we are sinners by nature, by birth. You pick up a little baby. You don't have to teach a kid to lie. I didn't have to teach my kids to lie. They learned it from their mother.
that's the other side of the family? No, I'm kidding. All of us are sinners. I didn't have to teach my kids to cheat. I was in ACE school, and I told my son, there's a few times you went up and checked your own stuff, and the answers from the next page are just right on the same page. You're an idiot if you don't look over there. I looked at them, and oh, yeah, now I go back and write them in. No one taught me to do that. No one set me down and said, all right, John, here's what you do. You go up there, and the answers for the next page are right there. All you got to do is kind of think about it, write them down in your mind, and go back and fill it in and cheat. No one told me to do that. That was already ingrained. That's from my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather Adam because they sinned against Almighty God, and all of us are sinners, and all of us are going to die and go to hell. But praise the Lord, the message, the life-giving message of the gospel. It had to go forth. They wrote it. It was written down. It was already written down with the king's authority. Do we have anything written down that says you can have eternal life? Does it have any authority upon it? Did man, like the guy, oh, well, you men put that in there. I said, how in the world can men write what's going to take place in 700 years? Isaiah wrote about Jesus Christ being born of a virgin 700 years before it took place. Our weatherman can't even get it right for next week. And you expect him to write what's going to take place in the next 700 years? Wrong. This is a great book because it's backed by the authority of Almighty God. So we have something written down. You don't even have to come up with it. You don't have to add to the message. All you got to do is just go tell the message. It's easy. You're a sinner. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He shed his blood. He rose again. He can cover your sins. He can give you eternal life. He'll forgive you if you just place your faith and trust in him and ask him to save you. That's it. How hard is that? Well, preacher, I don't know all the ins and outs. And I don't know. If somebody's going to argue with you anyway, you're probably not going to convince him. Just plant the seed. You know, we're so worried about, well, I got to know all the Bible back and front so I can, prove to people. That's not my job. My job is simply to go tell them, preach the gospel to every creature. That's my job. And there's some things in the Bible I don't understand. But I'm not going to throw it away because I don't understand them. I'm going to do what I know to do because I know this is a special book and it was written by Almighty God. And if you can understand everything in there, then you're on the same level as God. But how many of you know something in the Bible you don't understand? A few of us, yeah. But and Scripture interprets Scripture. I mean, I've read commentaries. I can show you a couple commentaries. One says this about it. One says directly opposite about that passage. Who am I supposed to believe? Which is the smart guy? I better interpret Scripture with Scripture. Exactly, Daniel. Scripture with Scripture. Usually the Bible will explain the Bible. And so, but the message had to get out. And it says they were, I love this, in every province, verse 13, was published unto all people. Is there anybody on the face of the earth that this gospel message is not relevant to, shouldn't be given to? Any nationality, any skin color? Well, let's leave them alone. Let's not tell them. Let's not go that far. No, Jesus died for all. He died for the sinner, and all of us are sinners. He died for every race, every color. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. And now it's hair colors, right? I see grandmas with purple and green and red, you know, so it's not skin. I guess it's purple. It's hair color. But anyway, it doesn't matter who you are, what you are, and what race. Hey, Jesus loves you. And he said, send it to all the people. But I want you to notice, it was saying, verse 14, being hastened and pressed. That word pressed just doesn't mean, hey guys, if you got any time, I mean, really, if you're not doing anything, you know, just a suggestion, you might go out and make sure there's no trash on the lawn or anything. If you have time, if you're not doing anything, that's not what pressed means. It means this is important. Hey, guys, this is life-saving. Kind of like the 911 call, you know. All right,
your whole time, you are 27th in the queue, right? Or can you hold, please? You know, you're 27th in the queue. No, wait, I need help now, folks. You know, I can't wait 25 minutes. Your estimated wait time is 25 minutes. Yeah, that's too late. 911 usually answers immediately. And they say, what is the location of your emergency? And you tell them because it's urgent. And if you don't say, yeah, well, my cat's sick, you know, they'll make you hang up. They said, hey, this is an emergency line. It's used for emergencies, those that need to get there right now. And why do you think the ambulances have sirens and lights? I always wanted to be a fire truck driver so I could go fast. Amen. But Hannah said when she rode that 12-hour shift, what she remembers is the siren. Seriously. I mean, we see it, we hear it going by. But when you're sitting in the ambulance, you hear it all the way there, right? All the way there. And she came home with her head going. And I saw her sitting around going. But I mean, hey, move aside. You may be going to a ball game, but we got to save somebody's life. Move aside. You may be going to the grocery store for next week's groceries, but this ambulance, hey, we need to get there. Move aside. Important. Being pressed, being hastened and pressed on by the king's suggestion. The king's commandment. And in verse 17, and in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had what? Anybody there? Joy, amen, and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. You think when somebody gets saved, they say, yep, going to heaven now. Gonna miss hell. Woo-woo. Think about it, folks. I'm not going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. Hell is only a holding place. It says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. I don't even like going on the lake on a boat. I'm not a water guy. You can have it. I get scared in my swimming pool at the house. You can have the water. But the lake of fire? Seriously? You're being saved from that. You don't have to go through the tribulation period. Your Father is the God Almighty who you can go to. You can walk. You can bow your head wherever you are and talk to your Heavenly Father. You can't walk in and say, I'd like to talk to the president. I'd like to talk to the chief of staff. I'd like to talk to the military. You can't do that. You can't just walk up and talk to anybody. I tried in just going in talking to a high school principal. You know how many I just walked up to the high school, open there, you don't open the door, you get buzzed in, you go to the office. May I help you? Oh yeah, I need to talk to the principal. Oh, come right in. I think I got 2 out of 50. Oh well, you just give us the information, we'll get it to him. He's an important person and you're not. But you can talk to God Almighty. You can talk to the creator of the universe. You don't have to set an appointment. You don't have to go through a secretary. All you have to do is bow your head and say, God, I need your help. Lord, hey, Heavenly Father, help. I need you. That's all you got to do. And you can talk to him and have access to your Heavenly Father. That should make you happy. But I love it. It says, and the Jews had joy and gladness. But it's all because of the message. Folks, they got to get the message out. And if we do it only on Saturday mornings from 10 to 12, shame on us. It's not a two-hour-a-week deal. Yeah, all you got to worry about, people, is 2 hours. No. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Everybody you run into, everybody you see, everybody you deal with, hey, they're either going to heaven or hell. It's amazing. We can pack out stadiums to see a little ball go from one end to the other, and people, teams fighting so the ball doesn't get to that end or that end. But the most important message of all times, no big deal. No big deal. I'm not worried about it. No thank you. Knocked on door yesterday, told him, close the door. Didn't even say, don't want it, just close the door. Like, what? You know, just inviting you to church. The message. So let's finish with this really quick. The Bible says in Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I love this. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Mark 16:50, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The mission, the commission, the goal, the only reason for Bethel Baptist Church's true existence is outlined by the Lord Jesus Christ in looking at his ministry. Three facts which are explicit is known as the Great Commission. And three things that make up our task, our mission, our job, why our purpose for existence, our goals, and number one, to evangelize. Get them saved. And that's only one third of the Great Commission. And you can do that. You don't have to be a part of a church to do that. You can go out, and wherever you're at, you can be on a ship, you can be overseas, you can be on a plane. Go ye therefore teaching all nations, baptizing them. If you go out and dunk somebody in the river, what are you dunking them into? If you say, oh, I'm going to baptize you. See, the pastor doesn't come. I didn't come when I candidated for Bethel Baptist Church 12 and a half years ago in my suitcase. I got a certificate. I'm ordained to baptize. No, it didn't come with the preacher. Where does the authority to baptize come from? Church. In Beeville, we had a young man, and his son got saved, and so the church gave him authority to baptize his son. No problem. It's not the pastor that, I have the authority. No. The church has the authority, and so the church recognizes somebody and gives them authority to baptize. That's scriptural baptism. And you know the proper candidate, one that saved and knows it and professes Jesus Christ. We don't baptize babies. Well, how come I want to be baptized to, you know, rededicate my life or, you know, so I can live better? No. Baptism comes after salvation. For someone that professes Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, the proper candidate, one that's saved and knows it, proper mode, complete immersion. All the way under, all the way up. When I did Darius, we got him halfway under, but half of his head was out. So we did it again, didn't we? You say, well, are you that? Well, it says if I say I baptized Darius, well, only halfway. If you're going to bury something, you're going to put it 6 feet under and cover it up. And that's what we did with Darius, but we brought him back. Amen? Praise the Lord. All right. And then the proper mode, the proper authority is the church. So winning people to Christ, only one third. World missions, there were some works that Jesus did consistently throughout his earthly ministry that are recorded for us in Scripture. The Lord gave his great commission to his church. If he gave it to his disciples, it would have been done and done. Hey, that job's, well, scratch that off. That's done. There are people that, a lot of people, never saw one apostle. How many of you met Paul? Peter? John? Elijah? Yeah, Hannah's come back from life several times. No, but anyway, we don't know those. So if the Great Commission ended there, we'd be in sad shape. It's given to the church. What is the church to do? Preach the gospel to every creature. And I don't mind. We spent yesterday with that, Clarence was his name. We spent about 15, 20 minutes. But when I left, I'm like, did I convince him of anything? He had his own views. He had his own ideas. And if someone's not going to believe this, I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of wasting my time. Because if they don't believe this, everything that I believe, I should be able to show you by this word of God. You believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ. You believe he's the Son of God? I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he was the God-man, the man Christ Jesus, the one that died on the cross, shed our blood. He was there at creation. Really? My Bible says John 1:3, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him. That's not Jehovah. That's Jesus Christ. So my job is not to convince everybody and argue with them and say, this is what I believe. I'm supposed to give them the gospel. I'm supposed to tell them the good news of the gospel so they can get saved. And if they get saved, hopefully they'll get a hunger for learning about God in the Scriptures. What's the extent of the mission field? To every creature. Where do we get our power to engage in mission work? The Holy Spirit. The church was baptized one event, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The promise was, you wait at Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit's going to baptize you. And that was a one-time event. That's not now that we are saved and we're on this side of the cross. When we're saved, we get all the Holy Spirit we'll ever get. It's not, I'm going to get baptized by the Holy Spirit again and get. I'm going to yabba-dabba-do and run up and down the aisles and speak in tongues. That's not scriptural. You see tongues in the Bible as languages. Sister Paget used to speak in tongues. Spanish. I didn't understand Spanish, but she would rattle off, and I get my hair cut over here, and the lady's from somewhere, and she'll start talking to her friends, and I'm like, it's tongues. And and they do it fast, too. But they understand it. They converse. And tongues in the Bible is not an unknown mystery, yabba-dabba-doo. It's languages. Because people got saved, understood the gospel, they heard the gospel in their own language. You see it in context. So the biblical plan for missions, look at Acts 13, and I'll be done this morning. Acts chapter 13. The biblical example, the biblical pattern for biblical missions, I think is found in Acts chapter 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch. Well, I feel like I just want to be a missionary. What part of church? Well, I don't really part of any church. But I'm just going to go out and reach the world. I see there were in the church at Antioch, a certain location, certain prophets and teachers. And it says, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. If someone doesn't do it here, how can they do it out there? You know, the ministry, this preaching, I love this part of the ministry. I love it. But it's not all that the ministry entails. The ministry is ministering to people. From Sunday night to Sunday morning, a lot goes on. A lot goes on. Yesterday, me and Jerry, we took, last night, we got a trailer and we helped Mrs. Lindholm, not the Lindholms here, but the lady from Dodge. We went and picked up her furniture in the shed, took it over to her new apartment, put it in, put up her bed. That's the ministry. The ministry is ministering to people. Ministering is meeting the needs. I love preaching. Amen. I love teaching. Love to do this. And if that's all I had to do, whoo-ee, cushy job. There's a lot to do. And as they ministered to the Lord, I asked Brother Trevor. Brother Trevor grew up in a pastor's home, and at Hutchison, he's really on staff as assistant pastor. But he goes into schools. He mows the lawn. He does a lot of things. He's ministering to the Lord. He soul wins. And now he's going to go to the mission field, but he just didn't say, "Well, I want to teach a Sunday school class." No, a lot in the ministry as they ministered. These people were already ministering to people inside the church, and then it says, "The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. Who called them? Who called them? The Holy Spirit. I'm not mama called and daddy sent. Well, you're a preacher, son. Uh-huh. Well, you're just a preacher because your dad was a preacher. Mm. I believe the Lord called me. I can remember God saying, hey, I want you to be in full-time service. I remember that. I surrendered to be whatever God wants me to be. When I went to Baptist Bible College, I wanted to be a youth director. That's all I wanted to do. Man, I took the pastor's course, the doctrine, theology, because the youth director's course was how to set up a game. Learn the rules here. And I'm like, you can do that anytime. But that's all I want to do. And then Dad called me at my fourth year and said, hey, would you mind consider coming back and work with the young people at our church? Yeah, let's do it. Amen. I'm ready. And then I remember at a missions emphasis week at Baptist Bible College, God spoke to my heart, said, I want you to be a preacher. I want you to pastor. And I went, I surrendered and I went to Beville Baptist Church to be assistant pastor, youth director. And then in 2003, actually in 2002 at a missions conference, God said, I want you to pastor. And I was enjoying being a youth director because I have a book in my office that says the youth department, working with young people, you either got to be called or crazy. I think you got to be a little bit of both. But God spoke upon my heart and said, I want you to pastor. Now, I was arguing with God. Are you sure? I mean, I love being a youth director, but you want me to pastor? That's a different animal. And Brother Stowe saw it, so he moved me out of the youth department, put me over the adult Sunday school class. And within a year, we were candidating. And God took us to Meeker, Colorado, and then here. But God's the one that calls. And then the church, like Brother Trevor, when he was ordained, the church ordained him. Well, the church recognized God's call. What it is, they recognized God's call upon their life, and they blessed him, and they're sending him out. They didn't call him. They said, here's what you need to do. God called him, and he said, this is what I think God wants me to do. And so the church said, we recognize that, and we're going to encourage you and recognize your call and send you forth. And the preachers on the ordination council, they were just recommending to the church, this is a proper candidate. I think he's going to do a good job, but the church already knew that. So the biblical plan is for someone to be working in the church. God lays upon their heart, and then the church gets behind them and sends them forth into the regions beyond. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before you. Thank you for this morning. God, we sure love you. And thank you for the patterns and the things that we see in the Word of God that we can follow and put to practice in our lives. Bless our service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Until church time.